Are you ready?
Funny.
Expensive.
Wanna.
Whatever.
Be happy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Funny Papers, a show where three 30-somethings share a collective psychosis about the classic 90s cartoon show, Doug. I'm Mike, and with me are my friends Sam.
Wanana.
And Jim.
I always thought that was just you people having a mental episode. Now I learn the horrible truth.
It's a good show. Today, we will cover episode 2, part 2 of Doug. In all episodes after the first, Doug was separated into two 12-minute shorts, and we decided to separate these two for purposes of a more streamlined show. Episode 2, part 2's title is Doug Gets Busted.
There I was, Doug Funny, fugitive from justice, cold, wet, hungry, even my shorts were riding up. This was probably, no, definitely the worst thing that's happened to me since the beginning of the school year.
So, to me, the theme of this show, like, I'm just going to lead with my overarching thesis on this show. The theme of the show is, Doug, no one cares. So, do you guys agree with that or no?
Yeah, I'm with you. That's pretty accurate.
Okay, cool. So, let's kick it off.
Our story begins with something that there's nothing worse than a soggy stinker.
So, more or less what Jim's trying to say here is that the beginning of this episode starts with Doug having an imagination sequence that he often has of him in a prison outfit running from, like, people who are chasing him through a swamp. And he's like, oh my god, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And he is foreshadowing, dear reader.
So... note here that this episode is not a Dear Journal episode. This actually has some things happening in real time, which is strange for Doug.
That's true. He says that in the present tense, doesn't he?
Yeah, because he's still recalling, because that's the point of the show, is just him remembering. But it's not in his journal. It's just him, like, standing in the pretend swamp, which is really just, like, the backyard of his school, I think.
Yeah, because this gets brought up when he, like, I think this exact scene happens later in the episode. Like, this is him, this is, like, starting at the high energy point of the episode, but then playing it early as, like, a little, you know, teaser.
Imagine, if you will, gentle reader, that there is a vast plain of nothing. A perfectly level surface. And then as you run across it, you will find a single tiny bump, as though God dropped a crumb and didn't bother to bend down to pick it back up. That is the emotional high of this episode.
Pretty good.
Accurate. I feel nothing, and I haven't felt anything since seeing this episode. Just total anhedonia. Just absolutely nothing.
But then it still makes millions of dollars when people rebrand it and start it over again.
I can't wait till they do it with Doug.
Oh, you know they're going to do it.
It's fucking bad.
Do you think they're going to go for the cyberpunk version or the high fantasy version? Because I know Archie got the dark, sexy, and magical treatment.
Archie also got the treatment of meeting Predator and the Punisher.
True, but those kicked ass.
Yes. So then it stands to reason that the gritty reboot of Doug will also kick ass.
If they did a live action reboot of Doug, that would be so fucking awesome.
Jesus.
It'd be so goddamn bad. Like Riverdale, but it's like just Bluffington.
Oh shit.
My god.
Oh no, I haven't thought about this.
I'm ruining my head right now. This is the first I've felt since seeing this episode.
Yeah, it's vile.
As we all know, joy comes through pain, so let's move on to our next step.
Where the fuck were we? Oh yeah, he's thinking about what just happened to him.
Right. He's foreshadowing that something bad happens to him, but he doesn't say what. Then we move into, like, the okay, now back to, you know, the beginning of the story, right? And the beginning of the story is Doug having an entrant at the science fair of I presume it's, like, for his grade or something, because there's only, like, six entrants in
the science fair.
Right?
Yeah. It's based on his memory, so he probably just remembers the, like, four people that he did.
Right, and then there were two background characters that get zoomed over and no one gives a shit about their entry.
Yeah,
they failed.
Right, they got kicked out of science class. But I gotta say, this science fair is fucking wild. Like the variety in entries and like what the entries are really strange. Like, did you guys feel this way about?
Yeah. Like the fact that this it starts off with a background character we've never seen before and we'll never
Chalky.
See again.
No, you see
we'll
Chalky.
See Chalky again. Okay. Oh, we'll see
oh,
Chalky.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah, you just wait.
Oh, goody. So, Chalky has taught a Venus flytrap to sing, okay? Venus flytraps don't have lungs, but that's joke adjacent.
But it's also fucking amazing. Like, it's
that's fucking Dr. Monroe shit.
Yeah, like, this guy should win the fucking Nobel Prize. Like,
he figured out how to get something that doesn't have lungs to sing. Okay, good, but okay, that we're just doing
not funny. Not funny at all.
It's joke adjacent. Like, there is a, that's weird. Okay, moving on.
The height of the emotional response to Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about this second one, because there are things to say about the second
one. Oh, the second one? Here's the thing. The second one is a reference.
Oh.
Okay, so we learned that Bebe was doing a display about trees causing more pollution than her dad's factory. And okay, haha, funny joke. That also laser targets you on the time and place. And also lets you know a lot more about the politics of Bluffington. So,
How?
There was a, like, somewhere in the Reagan administration, I forget where, but there was this, some asshole, I want to say it was Dan Quayle, said some line about how, well, actually, trees cause more pollution than factories. And this was widely considered a, oh, those wacky idiots, what a fool that man Quayle is. What kind of, like, et cetera, you get the idea.
Quail man.
Yeah, what a fool Quail man is. So, one, okay, we know that Bebe is the kid of whoever the hell runs Bluffco. And two, we know that the creators of the show, in modern day parlance, would be never Trumpers. In that they're the, like, 500 people somewhere on the East Coast who... Sure, they voted for him, and they vote straight R down the ballot, but they're kinda embarrassed when somebody does something that silly. Like, they'd prefer there to be a little bit more decorum in making sure that there is never such a thing as an ecological regulation or anything that would interfere with Baby's dad making money.
Wait, but did they give, like, a reason for this? Because in her, at least in the context of this show, Baby gives no, like, Doug says that she did a report on it, but in this, there's literally just a tree on the table that says, like, bad, and a picture, and, like, a factory on the table that says, like, good, and she's putting flowers in the smokestacks of the factory.
She convinced me. She's got
it. Oh, wait, no, that's it. It was in 1981, Reagan claimed that trees make more air pollution than automobiles.
How? What did he say?
Right. It was absolute horse shit. Like,
was there, like, a rationale for it?
There was a rationale. Like, you know how when Donald Trump tweets something utterly fucking insane because his brain is dying? There's a bunch of people who make a career out of saying, no, actually, who's making this obscure reference, no, actually...
The 40 chess shit?
Yeah, God forgive me. I'm going to make reference to the most insufferable meme ever. You know, remember that Kafifi thing?
Uh-huh.
There were some people who swore up and down that actually he was making a reference to a sentence in Arabic that meant, we stand with you. That's the level of delusion involved here. Yes, there was probably a route that a dying brain took to reach that point, but attempting to piece it back together from the outside is an exercise in madness, and please, I'm already budgeted for a Doug podcast. I can only do so much of that.
So what you're saying is that BB's brain is dying. And that's our first introduction to this character.
Bebe listens to her dad, and her dad absolutely voted for Reagan both times, Bush this time, and will be voting for... Who the hell does Clinton run against? Bush again. Yeah, right. Yeah, he'll be voting for Bush for the second time shortly, and spend the next several years furious at the Clinton crime family. He will inevitably end up, before he dies... Like, Bebe currently is the ambassador to... I don't know, Liechtenstein, courtesy of the position that her father bought her in the Trump administration.
Anyway, currently Bebe is an agent of propaganda.
Yeah, there we go.
She's convincing an elementary school that her dad's actually good.
But you know what's funny about this is that she also has a banner on her display that says pollution is bad. This is like our smoggy problem, right? So it's like she's agreeing that pollution is a problem. She's just saying the source of it.
Oh yeah, that was the Reagan line. Yeah, pollution's a real problem, so we gotta cut down the fucking trees.
That's the global warming line too. It's a real problem, but men aren't doing it. Couldn't do it. How can we do it? Please put more smoke into the air. We've got to make our important plastic spoons that end up at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. This is important. Industry. Jobs. Taxes.
Jobs.
The economy.
Jobs.
Vote for Trump.
Anyway.
This podcast endorses...
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking clip that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Anyway,
I have unadulterated access to all this audio.
Real shame my audio got lost in the transition. We had to redo this. Real fucking shame.
Anyway, so the next entry in the science fair is just Skeeter came dressed as the solar system. that was his entry. It wasn't even necessarily his entry. It was just a statement by Doug. Skeeter came dressed as the solar system, which is also incorrectly represented in his solar system.
Like, it's like he's wearing like a mobile on his head,
and he's wearing a sun on his chest that says Mr. Sun.
I forgot about that. That's
very
good.
Yeah, no, Skeeter, bringer of light. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
Lux Aferra, if you're a big fan of Latin.
What does that mean? I'm not.
Lux Aferra, bringer of light, a.k.a. Lucifer the Morning Star.
Jesus Christ. Well, by the name Mr. Sun, we can also see that... Skeeter is a supporter of the awful patriarchy.
Yeah.
The sun has a dick. This is canon.
Changed my mind. Anyway. So, and then, like, he says that Roger's entry is just a fucking weapon.
It's a bomb. Roger brought a bomb to fucking school.
It's a straight out of Looney Tunes bomb, too. Like, it's a black iron sphere with a fuse attached.
Yeah, he brought a round bomb, and he said that it was a firecracker trying to show it as a supernova, right? And he was putting it right next to Skeeter's face. And then Doug, as usual, has the most boring project, right? Like the least remarkable of any.
It's the shitty volcano every kid does when they're like 8, made out of baking soda and like Play-Doh.
But his dog is also dancing. That's the other part of his project.
His dog is dancing in a hula skirt, which is...
Volcanoes are
good.
Only in Hawaii, by the way.
Yeah,
right.
Where else? A traditional Hawaiian culture is a volcano's there.
and a skirt.
Yeah, and the grass skirt and a dog. And you could probably go pretty deep on that, but I'm not going to because there's only so many, like... The precise role Porkchop plays in this entire ecosystem is... I need more information before I go deeper on that. It's just baffling.
He's a dog.
He sure is,
look, Sam.
I think the main thing this is trying to get across is to just, like, make something recognizable that, like, a kid watching this might be like, oh, I did that too. I'm as cool as Duck.
Jesus.
That's
you
grim.
Know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, like, that's like absolutely what they were going for. You're right.
Right. Like, it's look, we know that being as cool as Doug is not that great. But, like, at the time, if you related with, like, a protagonist as, like, a young kid, you were probably feeling pretty good about that, right? And it's like, oh, I made a volcano, and that's what Doug's entry is in the science fair. He's competing against an amazing talking plant and some propaganda and a bomb.
As a child, I identified with Jason the Red Ranger because I was very cool and could beat up buddies.
Whom amongst us?
I identified with Tommy Pickles because he was a baby.
and he shat his pants all the time. Yeah. That's Doug's.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so we see, like, the main projects here. And then, like, Patty comes up and she's like, oh, man, what a cool volcano, Doug. Who, I guess Patty didn't enter? Like, I guess
Patty's entry is a masterclass in condescension.
Patty was just like, I can take the zero on this one.
Patty was just like, just this just sucks,
this
man.
Why would I do a science project? I'm in sixth grade. What the fuck do we know about science?
We learn what we know about science very shortly. Doug explains to us.
Does he? Like, is this something that happens right now, what he learns about science?
Yes, Doug explains to all of us scientifically that the reason the lava keeps shooting up in the air is because I love you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good like metaphor.
Yeah.
So, what? This is so bad because if you fix the sentence to like what he meant to say, let me read it out because I wrote it down. Good. The reason the sparks keep shooting up in the air is because the sparks go above you. Just absolutely, just like fucking, that's like a 3-year-old sentence. Just pablum. Just nothing. God.
It sounds like...
Like, I wrote that sentence down, and I paused the episode and just, like, had to take a walk around my apartment.
How'd it make you feel? Shit, man. That's amazing. I didn't even write that down. I think that's one of those lines that just sort of goes over your head because of how stupid it is, and you're like, I don't need to listen that closely to this.
Doug, short, dear readers...
Don't listen that closely to this.
Right, what we're saying.
This is very smart and good.
Every one of our words is holy writ, treated as such.
Honk honk.
Honk honk.
But yeah, okay. So then, as this is happening, is anything happening before Mr. Bone shows up?
Nope.
Okay, Mr. Bone busts into the science classroom, and I wrote this down. What he wrote that what he says is no volcanoes on school property. And like,
seems weirdly specific, but whatever.
Yeah.
But also like correct and helpful. Like I don't want a volcano in my school.
He's summoned by Doug saying the lava keeps shooting up into the air because I love you. So okay, there's at least a certain degree of, all right, no horniness on my school grounds.
That would make more sense, say.
Also, his voice is, he's the George H.W. Bush knockoff because he is doing a bad impression of Dana Carvey's bad impression of George H.W. Bush. He's a not at all charismatic, a kind of a boring old guy who's obsessed with the rule book. And I mean, he's doing the best he can, but these damn kids are just, they're causing him so much trouble, you see.
He killed John Kennedy. He's also the vice president, or the vice principal.
Yeah, we should say who this person is, right? That busts in. He's the vice principal, and also, so he's effectively, like, the man, right? He's, like, the voice of, responsibility and, like, authority in this school, right?
He loves rules.
He keeps on going off on, like, well, there's this rule, and it's that subsection, yada. Well, I can't actually find it, but I know it's not allowed.
Yeah, because he has the rulebook memorized, because he's a true...
He's a really cool guy.
Yeah. But yeah, so he busts in and he says, no volcanoes on school property. Now, he says this, he beelines to Doug's before seeing Roger with a lighter lighting a bomb. And, like, he had to pass Roger. Like, later it'll, like, zoom out and show, like, the geography of this classroom. He had to pass Roger to do that, to see a, like, baking soda volcano instead of a bomb.
I mean, he's George H.W. Bush. He's got a lot of experience at not noticing acts of terrorism.
Damn.
Yeah, gotcha.
Got him.
Yeah. No, but seriously, guy ran a lot of cocaine out of Central America and killed a lot of people.
Mr. Bone? Mr. Bone did?
Mr. Bone absolutely did that. Mr. Bone worked for and also was George H.W. Bush.
Fair.
At first, I thought that, like, Doug saw Mr. Bone put his volcano out, but he doesn't see it. However, what, like, causes Doug to leave the classroom? I don't remember.
Oh, the bell rings, and he's like, oh, we gotta go to math class.
Gotcha. Okay, it's that classic device.
Right, but, like, no one else leaves for math class except for Patty and him. Okay. Like, all the other people are just like, well, we still got science fair to go. Like, nobody's...
Fair's
like,
not yeah, done.
I just thought, like, so... Does Skeeter have to stay there all day because his project is being dressed as the solar system? Like, he doesn't get to leave and go to math class? I don't know.
I feel like Skeeter has to be there just so that all can behold the Lightbringer in his most perfect aspect, and then Roger, in his role as the bringer of chaos and destruction, is just attempting to upset the natural balance. And so Mr. Bone steps in to address this issue as the incarnation of the man to make sure that the Lightbringer stays in his proper position by ending the cycle of life and death and shutting off the bomb that Roger was allowed to bring to school for some reason.
I'm Mr. Sun, Hong Kong.
Yeah, this metaphor got away from me, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm into it. Okay, so everyone skedaddles, but then Mr. Bone finally notices the bomb in his classroom next to Skeeter's head and says, put it out! What the fuck? Like, Jesus Christ, Roger, put the bomb out! And then they put it out. And some kid, I think his entry to the science fair was just like a tin can radio. And he's just like, hey, Mr. Bone put a fire out in the classroom, right? And then there's like a classic like telephone device where like everyone is like, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear that the fire was crazy? Oh my God, I heard that the entire building burned down. Oh, Jesus. And like it eventually gets back to Roger, right?
Building burned down with me inside it. We're all dead. Game theory.
Right. And it eventually gets back to Roger. And Roger's like, oh shit, but what a fun way to give Doug some grief.
I mean, so the reason, if you can't tell where this is going, it's that Doug thinks he burned the school down because Roger told him. Now, the reason this is so bad, like just a utter waste of time, is that there's absolutely no dramatic tension here because the viewer knows Doug didn't burn school down.
Right.
The only thing you have that keeps you going through this episode is seeing how Doug is going to figure out that he didn't burn the school down. And it seems to me that there's many ways to do, like, figure that out.
Yeah.
Like looking at
right,
the school.
Go look at it.
Right, but like,
or ask anyone. Talk to anyone about it. Anyone.
But like you say, this is the third out of three episodes where the conflict happens by Roger lying to Doug.
Yeah, Roger is just like, what's his end game? Like in the last episode, he at least had the goal of, okay, I can maybe get with Patty Mayonnaise. This time it's just, I'm just gonna be an asshole because I can. I don't have anything to gain from this. There is no benefit. There is no, like, kids can be that petty, but you at least have to have some, like, maybe he's just established that Doug is that credulous and that easy to fuck with.
I think that's obvious from the everything about him.
Like, Roger isn't gonna get off of a felony because he said that Doug did it. Like, it's not, it doesn't even help him. It doesn't help him at all.
He's going to go to the cops and be like, have you considered that maybe...
maybe it was the volcano and not the bomb.
Right, the volcano not made out of fire.
It also shows that, like, Doug has no idea how his volcano works. Because he saw it going off. And he put it together and he's just like, well, what if this turns into, like, a seismic event that levels the school? Like, he had that thought for real.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it might be jumping to conclusions that he just made like a baking soda volcano, because when we see the volcano in the science lab, there's like sparks and smoke coming from it, right? Maybe he actually did light a fucking fire in his volcano.
Either way, either reading, he's dumb as shit.
Yes.
Oh yeah, obviously. Obviously.
It is possible that more than baking soda was involved, if I am forced to give credit to Doug, which I take great offense to.
Look, Mom and Dad, I collected lava for my fucking volcano.
Like, hey, Dad, what do you got around here that's explosive and burns for a while? You got any thermite, Dad?
Do you have any fertilizer, Dad?
His dad would definitely give it to him.
His dad,
we've learned this about Mr.
Bunny. Probably would build the bomb for him. Just be like, be careful, Doug. Oh, you wouldn't even say, be careful, Doug. You would just say, have fun.
He would say, kids these days have it so good.
Yeah, kids these days have it so much easier than we do. It's so much easier access to improvised explosive devices. Right. In my day, if you wanted to kill a cop, you had to actually put together a whole deadfall trap scenario.
And then his mom says, be happy. God damn it. Okay. Right. So
Roger bullies Doug into believing that he burnt the school down.
Did what? Listen, Doug, try to concentrate. You remember that volcano of yours? Oh, sure, it started with one tiny spark, but pretty soon the whole science lab was one towering inferno. What should I do?
Right, and Doug has a little fantasy where he's in jail and Roger's the jailer, and then comes out of the fantasy and he's stuck his face in the bike racks.
Which
like
is in the
bars.
Middle of the street.
Well, he's at the Honker Burger. Right. It's like in the parking lot.
It's in
lot
the middle
of
the parking lot. It's not where right. you put... Yeah, never mind. It's just... Nah, that's just nitpicking, but I like have it written in my notes. Lazy even for Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just... Yeah. And there weren't any bikes in there. Right. No one uses it.
He just stuck his head
through it. Where did Doug put his bike?
Then, thankfully, we are saved from the agony of watching Doug attempting to be more anxious for longer to carry more of this scene by the saving strings, the glorious hooting of the Mr. Dink theme as something shouts, freeze, you're under arrest.
Because Mr. Dink, obviously, so Doug like walks home after this and he encounters Mr. Dink like fixing his car. And Mr. Dink obviously has some like wild security system in his car that says like, hey, you're under arrest, stop it, right? As like, and that's what he's testing. And like, damn, like, is Mr. Dink just roll around town arresting people? Like, that's like part of his car is to
Mr.
Just...
Dink has absolutely attempted to citizens arrest people several times.
Right. In my notes, I have Dink is definitely a police scanner guy.
Oh, absolutely.
That was like the highest tech thing you could have in the 90s.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you just get super into it, just being like, oh, yeah, I'm part of the force, right? That Mr. Dink's. Definitely had those moments.
Yeah, definitely had that, and like, oh god. And if you want like more evidence on this one, as Doug is just kind of shaken up and of course is kind of acting weird after, as Mr. Dink explains his latest very expensive purchase, Mr. Dink comments something to the tune of, ah, young Douglas acting a little strange these days, and like, and Mrs. Dink just kind of shoots over, maybe Doug is actually the head of an international ring of auto thieves, dear. And in any other context, that would just be the obvious, ah, 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 what a nice little joke by my wife. Whereas Mr. Dink pulls back and he's actually kind of angry this has been said. Like, he's not even old enough to drive. He's genuinely thinking about
like
this.
That?
He's actually considering that perhaps Doug is head of this internet. From this, we can determine Mr. Dink is not only currently a police scanner guy, he will be a QAnon guy. It is not a question of if. It is a question of when.
What is that again for, dear reader? Uh-oh. Don't go too hard. Don't go too hard on this, please. I'm prefacing this because I know you want to, Jim.
Oh,
like,
God.
20-second explanation.
20-second explanation. Insane conspiracy theory. Back in 2017, some random asshole on 4chan posted, I know Hillary Clinton will be arrested in October 2017. And now, 2 years later, they're still following everything the guy says because he must be some kind of prophet. It's insane.
It's a way for Trump supporters to cope with the fact that Trump hasn't really, you know, done anything that he said he was going to do.
Basically, yeah.
Because there's a deep state working against him. That's it.
They also believe that JFK Jr. faked his death to hook up with Trump to do this. It's really hilarious.
I would believe that Dink is like a conspiracy guy, but I wouldn't say that he's going to be like a Trump guy, do you?
The problem is he's a suburban Republican who has nothing else going on and a wife who hates him.
So he's got
to have something to go on. Like, he's going to be losing himself into some kind of, like, he's gonna come up with something else to do, because you can only buy so many very expensive things before your hips give out. And he absolutely was an early internet adapter, and he absolutely has fallen headfirst down every conspiracy rabbit hole since about 19, like ever since Usenet, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the original posters.
And the most online of all.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I buy into this a little more now. I wanted to give Dink the benefit of the doubt, but maybe that's too generous of me. Okay, so Doug gets back to his house, and he's, like, paranoid. He's like, oh, my God, my only choice is to just run away from the cops, right? I'm going to go to jail. Like, I got to get out of here because the science building is burned down, and they haven't figured out that I did it yet, right? Like, they don't know where I live or something.
Side note. The science building. Evidently, that's a thing. Well, wait, no, it was the gym, wasn't it?
It was the science lab. That's what they said.
Yeah, like the science
lab. Okay, the science lab.
Which is
okay,
a separate
that's...
building from the school for whatever reason.
Fascinating. Right. Okay, that, like, we're going to more. Wow, sure is Raytheon Acres up ends, isn't it?
Anyway, so Doug gets the idea that he needs to use Judy's set of costumes to fool the police. And he goes into her room, but I want to make a note that, like, as Doug goes to his sister's room, he's like sneaking, right? He's like so like nervous. He's like, oh my God, I hope she doesn't catch me. And also, when he's in the hallway, there is one picture on the wall of the hall, and it is a picture of their house.
The most insane.
The most boring possible artwork.
But also insane.
The only picture in the entire hallway is a portrait of the house they currently live in.
And Doug's dad's a photographer.
Right.
They probably have like a picture of their TV. That's just
probably
on top of their TV.
Right.
God
damn. Didn't notice that. That's incredible.
It's so good. I had to stop it and rewind and be like, wait, what was in that picture? Oh my God. There are like a lot of little things in this episode that I like razor focused in on.
Like, I started off thinking that Jim Jenkins wasn't a real name. I'm now questioning if Jim Jenkins is a real human.
I tried. He's not on Twitter. I couldn't find his Twitter account.
Fuck.
What a shame.
I did find the Doug Facebook, the official Doug Facebook group.
Oh, no.
We'll have to mine that content later.
But we're never posting there because they will ban us on this podcast.
I was kind of expecting one of the two of you to have been banned from posting there already.
Not yet.
From asking legitimate questions.
Important.
I'm just asking questions.
I'm not a cop.
Did Skeeter know about 9/11?
Just asking questions.
Jack Bandit was found at the base of the towers.
Oh shit. Okay. So anyway, so Doug gets into his sister's room and he's just like plowing through her stuff. He's like through her treasure chest, and he finds a mustache in there, and he's like, oh, this is it. This is what I need, is this large mustache. And he puts it on, right? And then he spins around, and Judy's there. And, like, okay, this is why I was stressing that he was, like, sneaking around, because he spins around, and he sees Judy, and Judy's like, hey, Doug, what are you doing in my room? And he goes, oh, it's okay. I'm just looking for a disguise or something. He's like totally drops his like, you know, that he had to be sneaky. He's just like, yeah, obviously it's fine. Whatever. Right?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Judy, to her credit, this is the first time in this show that anyone has reacted to Doug the way a human would. It's like, oh, good. If you just ruffle through my dresser then. He walks over. Okay, thanks. Get the hell away from my dresser.
Right.
It's like, no. Little brother, stop. You're not this. No, bad. Go away.
This is, yeah. I also noticed that, I think I was looking at a lot of weird background details in this, because I also noticed that Judy has a poster in her room, and it's a picture of, like, ballet shoes, and the caption on it is, this is, like, just verbatim, it says this, dance on tippy toes.
Is this, is this really, like... Like, do they have like mental problems?
Well, okay, so my guess on that is that it was supposed to be like those, you know, those cat hang in there pictures, but like, how do we change that into like a theater person? But like, I love that phrasing. It's not like, you know, always be on your tippy toes. It's just, it's like a statement, like a piece of advice.
Yeah.
Dance on tippy toes.
This should have made like a poster of a guy with like a mangled leg screaming, just says, break a leg.
Well, that would actually like involve some kind of continuity because it'd be a callback to the last episode.
Oh,
I should have hired
Nice.
Me to write for the show.
Obviously.
I should write a Doug spec script. That'd be good.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's write a Doug spec script and send it across to just random people in Hollywood. Not actual people who like make movies or anything like that. Just sending it to people whose addresses are in the town of Hollywood.
We joke about the Doug live action remake, and you're going to write this and it's going to get made off of it.
And so we retired into wealth and luxury.
Basically. Anyway, so this is the point after Judy immediately catches him. She's like, all right, I'm actually gonna help you. Like, it's like not because she thinks that he's running away from the cops, but like, oh, you're just looking for a fun costume, right? And so she's like, oh, okay, here's what you need, this cloak, and then also this like fedora, right, Doug? And she says, yeah, Doug the Bandit. And Doug goes in his like, he's like, this is very important. Like, this is like revelation for him. He's like, no, not Doug the Bandit, Jack Bandit. It's like,
nice.
This is like his nice. Yeah.
You're just seeing, like, watching nice. As the two synapses in Doug's brain get together and lightning crawls from one to the other.
Just fucking Bukkake's serotonin everywhere, all over his brainstem.
I like the image of Judy just being like, yeah, all right, whatever, like, sure.
Good to see he's having fun.
Couple things here. I have written in my notes on this section, I hate this fucking shit. I have two lines of dialogue here that I had to write down. Doug says, me? Do I look like a bandit? And then Judy says, if you're gonna play a bandit, at least look the part. Like, horrible writing. Like, just say no! Say no! That's what the word's for!
I think she just assumes that if he's looking for a costume, why wouldn't he be playing a character in a
show? She's learned the art of yes and, like, so she can't say, oh no, God no, you look like a fucking moron. You'd look better if you had this also. Sort of.
Right. She also calls sarcasm a dramatic device. And it's not a dramatic device. It's just an element of human interaction. And she's going to like a private theater school. I don't know like what they're teaching her there.
To be fair, in the context of the rest of the dialogue in this show, that's closest thing to a dramatic device.
It's possible to say a thing and have it not mean what is immediately most obvious. I know nobody else in this show understands this concept, but I do.
If you told that to Doug, both of his brain cells would just die immediately.
He would freeze up for 10 seconds and then just go, yeah, Jack Bandit.
What the nah?
Yeah. Okay, coppers, I dare you to catch one and a Jack Bandit.
So is this the moment when he first goes when na na?
It is, in fact.
This is also helps my incel theory because the first costume Doug wears is a fedora and a cape.
Yep. And a mustache.
Fedora, a cape, and a mustache, who is, as we will see as he continues to fantasize later, just somebody who, by his mere presence, just makes girls be all about him.
He's going to try being a pickup artist, and he's going to suck at it tremendously.
Jack Bandit will be caught on at least one, like, random sweep of the French Quarter in New Orleans. One very unpleasant spring break for Doug.
When then there.
Also, one of the things I was thinking about throughout this entire episode is that, like, if Doug burned the science lab down, like, he murdered a bunch of people. It's like, that doesn't...
Yeah, and the cops would immediately show up at his doorstep.
Like, he doesn't worry about, like, oh man, did I kill somebody? He's just like, oh, I did a wrong thing.
Yeah, no. At no point is Doug concerned about the deaths that he caused. He is only concerned about the damage to property.
Or getting caught.
I think a big part of it is that Doug is often not concerned with, like, the morality of things, just more so, like, the legality, like, the rule-following aspect.
Yeah,
of it,
it's
right?
a very much a structure of, there is no such thing as morality in Doug's universe, there is only the rules, and the concept of disobeying the rules, just, it does not enter into his conception of the universe.
Yeah, morality and the rules for him are exactly the same thing. Like, like if you break the rules, that's it.
As, like, again, like, he's picturing that due to his crime of burning down the science lab, he will be going to jail forever, and his life is now over. Like, this is, goes back to what we said in the first episode about how once Doug needs something bad to happen to him so he can learn to deal with a bad thing occurring in any sense. Because he doesn't have the framework for it. He just assumes that authority will do with him as is necessary, and he will be provided what is necessary as long as he obeys authority. Like, he doesn't have any kind of spark or any kind of individuality because he's never addressed a conflict.
For that, he'll need to become Windinere Jack Bandit.
Yeah.
The incel bandit. So he goes into his first, like, real fantasy of the series, right?
Yeah, the first one where it's not just people laughing
at
him.
The first one where it's fantastical.
Yeah, the first one where he's, like, doing something in the right, sort of. Not in the right, but, like, something that you could be proud of.
Well, they announced that he like, burned the science building down. And in this fantasy, like, that impresses Patty Mayonnaise.
But also, so she's the way this starts is, like, it calls, like, he fantasizes, it's, like, not immediately revealed that this is a fantasy. It just shows, like, their teacher, like, asking Patty, oh, what's the sixth article of the Constitution? And she says that whoever burns the science lab goes to jail or something, right?
The court shall have the power to punish anyone who covers the science lab with molten lava.
But I looked it up just now because I forgot to look it up earlier, and the sixth article of the Constitution is what forbids a religious test as a requirement for holding the government position. So, like, does that have anything to do with the show, or were they just like, oh, let's pick an article? I don't know.
I'm gonna say it's coded Bible shit.
Yeah, especially given that you established that this is a very Baptist, like, sort of show. Like, the showrunner wanted to be an incredibly Christian show. Like, him talking about, yeah, and then there's this bullshit. That might as well be a rule added to the Constitution. That might as well be a thing about a volcano burning down a school. It's silly. We shouldn't have to deal with it. Also, it absolutely must stop Sharia law from invading our school.
Also, the cool character can totally break it and get away with it, and everyone will love him for it. Right, so basically, what happens is, like, then the teacher's like, so who did it? And then the whole class goes, he did, and it points over to Doug, but he's dressed as Jack Bannon, and he goes, I'll get away with this, and he just, like, fucking jumps out the second story of the building, right?
While tossing a rose to Patty Mayonnaise.
Yeah, he swings, like, a total of 10 feet and then falls out the window right into the cop's arms.
That's the funny thing. The funny thing is that even in Doug's fantasy where he's cool, he gets immediately caught. he fucks up royally immediately. Like, even in his greatest of fantasies. That's so good. Yeah, so, and Patty's just like, you gotta get away, Jack Bandit, and then the fantasy ends, right? So, I think in his mind, Patty thinks it's cool that he burned the science lab down.
A quick little side note for you, our adored viewers. You know how my co-hosts have been saying, literally constantly over the last several minutes?
Yeah.
To imagine my college experience, imagine that.
Yeah.
Only for 4 years.
You're welcome.
They never stopped doing that. It was astonishing. I still can't believe they had girlfriends.
We're friends. I didn't.
Oh man.
Shit. things getting real on the funny papers.
So this ends up being a dream, and he wakes up because he falls out of his bed because he thinks his bed is the cop's arms, and he falls out. And I have to note here that he thinks he has to go into hiding, but first he just takes a nap at his like his house. He's like totally defenseless in the first place the cops would go to look for him. He's just like, I'm sleepy.
Justice only works 9 to 5, right? Right. But yeah, so he wakes up from this dream, and wait, one more thing real quick about the dream. I love that like Patty like likes that he did it, but in his fantasy also Patty immediately rats on him, right? She's like, you're cool for burning down the science lab, but also you should run from the cops.
I'm calling the police.
Right. And like,
law remains all powerful, but Doug can be cool in the split second before the law catches him.
But we can agree that, like, in the universe that he did burn down the science lab, that isn't good, right? Like, burning stuff down is bad? I don't know.
Arson is bad? I think?
It's hard to make these moral calls here on the Funny Papers, where we've already made a couple of controversial moral decisions.
Right.
I've never said anything wrong in my life. Fight me.
You're right. He's right, folks.
See, I'm doing the editing, so that can be true.
Jeez, son of a bitch.
So anyway, Doug wakes up and he decides that he needs to go on the lam, as he says. And so he goes and tells his parents, who are sleeping, and he says,
I'm leaving home, dropping out of school, and starting a new life as a fugitive from justice.
Hey, I'm gonna run away from home. And he uses the phrase, all right.
No more son.
No more son. And his dad, who's like, both of them are sleeping at this point, but his dad, who's like awake enough to respond, is just like,
that's nice, Doug. Just don't wake your sister.
That's cool. Don't wake your sister. And so, like, so this falls into the category of just like, Doug, no one cares.
Yeah,
so,
well.
He doesn't think. He thinks he's going to go to jail forever, but he doesn't think it's important enough to wake his parents up, nor did he think it was important enough to explain to Judy, like, what the situation was.
Right.
He doesn't tell anyone, not a single person, nor does he confirm the damage he's done.
Nope.
This entire episode falls apart if you think for, like, half of a second, but that's not possible for Doug's two brain cells.
Or be like, watch the news, right? If they're just like, oh man, there's a wild arsonist out there and he's on and he's we're looking for him and here's the picture of him.
His catchphrase is one na na.
Who the fuck else says that?
I mean, there's these two idiots at college somewhere in the 2000s, but unless we're unstuck in time, we'll never find them.
Let's hope they never become that. Okay, so then we move to Doug, quote-unquote, being on the lam, where he's in a forest.
Yeah, he just sits around doing nothing.
What are you supposed to do when you're on the lam anyway? I don't know either.
Well, he's poking a fire with a stick, and he's saying, boy, what is it people do when they're on
boring.
The lam?
This is boring.
Yeah. This is boring. I'm bored. Right?
And so Doug stands around doing fuck all. This is different from his preceding adventures in the following ways.
Right.
And it turns out he's not in a forest. He's just in the school backyard. He's just in the backyard of the school where he can probably see the science lab.
Yep.
Yeah, almost certainly. Or at least if there was, like, you know, a fire truck or construction equipment. Yeah, definitely.
Also, since school's going on, why didn't they call his parents?
Yes, that was something I was going to note later, is that no one cares that he's not at school.
Yep.
This whole thing comes down to no one cares, yep. Right?
Oh, wait, no, there is one moment that kind of does impress me a little bit, because as they realize that, wait, they're a little bit hungry, and they decide they're going to wander on towards the school, like, Doug and Porkchop put on a bunch of branches or what the fuck ever, and sneak up very obviously on Skeeter to ask him for a sandwich. I'm very impressed that Skeeter recognized Doug and Porkchop instead of saying, wow, a moving bush!
But he says, hey, cool costume. Honk, honk. And he gives him, he splits the sandwich into three parts, but those three parts are all of equal size. So he's a wizard.
Yeah, yeah. Do not question the Lightbringer's ways.
Something I want to note. So what, like, dear viewer, let me walk you through this set of events. After Doug is bored in the forest with this fire, and he, like, stands up and he goes, oh, there's kids at school, and, you know, like, he's been outside the school the whole time, and he, like, goes to talk to Skeeter and ask him for a sandwich from there while they're hungry. But let me posit this to you. This whole thing, he's worried that he caused a fire hazard, but when he leaves his campsite, he leaves an unrestricted fire in the woods.
I missed that completely.
He is causing a way worse fire hazard in his escape attempts and might burn down the school this way, right? So, I don't know. It's clear that he didn't think this plan through.
Like, the other side of this is just that no one ever should think about anything they do. It seems to be some of the moral of this, because Doug's problem here is arising from he's thinking, oh God, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? If you don't think about the things you do, it's not a problem for anybody. We didn't think about leaving that untended fire in the school backyard, and so it's not really an issue. Carry on.
Right, out of sight, out of mind.
Look, as long as I'm not worrying about it, it's not wrong.
Yep.
All that Perfect. Matters is what matters to me. Yeah. So he gets this sandwich from Skeeter, and then does Mr. Bone just immediately catch him? Is that what happens here?
Yep, immediately.
Mr. Bone sees him and starts chasing him, and Doug starts running.
Right. And he goes, this is when he goes back into his fantasy that started the episode where he's like dressed as a convict and he's getting chased. And there's a phrase he uses when he does this one where he says, oh, I'm being hunted down like an animal just because of my love for science.
I'm not at all because of the dozen people I killed.
Right. So he's like wildly misinterpreting the situation here in this fantasy.
He doesn't even know what he did wrong. He doesn't even get it.
Right. Which I guess makes sense why he doesn't understand that it's not an issue because the science lab is still in place, because he doesn't understand it.
He doesn't understand anything.
Now, yeah. Well, he understands that there is law and order, and that the price for violating order for a split second is pain and suffering.
So in this, but then he starts to think to himself, you know, maybe jail isn't so bad. Because I'll get... He says, boy, this is like a lot of running in the first place. The thing that's worst about this is that running is hard, right? So, like, he says that. And yep. Then he says, there are three things that are good about jail. He says, number one, 3 meals a day. Okay, great. Fine, that, like, might be a legitimate thing. Number two, bunk beds. Which I love as just like a child's idea of what is good in life. Yes. Bunk beds. I remember those days when I thought that bunk beds were the greatest
ass.
Thing.
Yes,
yeah,
he's
totally.
Right. It's the first time he's been right.
The first two are totally right. And then the third is my own number.
Prison's got to be less strenuous. Regular meals, bunk beds, my own number.
Which is just like a grip for individuality.
Yeah, just like, finally, I will have something to differentiate me from the rest of the universe. I will have a number.
Like,
right.
Put a different way, he convinces himself that prison is good.
That prison is an improvement on his current situation.
Where you don't have to run for 20 seconds. Better go to
from
jail.
Nothing. Right. Exactly.
For the people I killed, I better go to jail because it's good, actually. And I like
for my love for science.
God damn. Hate this show.
Hey, we got a lot of episodes to go, man. Anyway, so then Mr. Bone is just like, all right, you're coming with me, mister. And Doug has his like hands up. He's like, all right, I'll go quietly. And Mr. Bone's like, all right, yeah, all right. Cool.
Mr. Bone just kind of looks at this and goes, eh, all right, I've seen worse.
Now we're caught up and we're in real time now. One of the few times in Doug we're in real time.
Right, we finished the teaser, and now we're into the real meat of the show, right?
In the last minute and a half.
Yeah, so Mr. Bone takes Doug down to the principal's office.
Down through the hall of principals.
Yes, it is preceded. The principal's office is preceded by a line of portraits of previous principals that is designated the hall of principals.
Do you remember what the name of the principal is? Like the not vice principal?
I do, but you say
it's
it.
It's Mr. Butt Savage.
God, no, you are fucking with
nope.
me.
Nope.
No, it's
you are absolutely fucking with me.
Nope, 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 no, nope, nope.
They I don't think I've ever made that sound before. What the fuck?
That was a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to make a soundboard just with that sound so I can have you like react to things that way.
Now, dear reader, know that this was not said in this episode.
I wouldn't have been able to stop. The fuck?
Yeah, so he's
Savage?
Eventually good.
Mr. Mike Savage?
So he's eventually going to get an entry in the Hall of President or the Hall of Principals.
Yeah, he's going to get an entry in the Hall of Principals. He's going to get his own little island. He's going to fly some good students out there. All sorts of fun shit's going to be done by Mr. Butt Savage.
Little Saint Butt Savage.
Little Saint Butt Savage. God, yeah, no, that's the name of the island now. We've determined this.
And his second in command, Mr. Bone.
Bone and Butt Savage. I, son of a bitch, I hate you all.
Amazing.
It's a good show.
Especially Jim Jenkins. Jim Jenkins, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So anyway.
Fuck.
So,
all right, I'm just gonna rush us through the end of this because
no,
I'm fucking mad now.
No. There's a couple more things we need to get through. In the Hall of Principals, there's also a bulletin board. The bulletin board is just labeled stuff, right? That's just like that's all that's on the bulletin board. And one of the things on the bulletin board is a bunch of signs. One of them just says, like conservation, and a bunch of other stuff is about like marine wildlife. So like, what about that, BB? What does your presentation have to say about the conservation of marine wildlife?
We can conserve the wildlife better when we submerge them in oil.
Right, animals like
they're
oil.
Slippery.
It's
yeah.
fun for them.
It's good for them.
It's like GAC.
Why do you think?
Also by GAC.
They keep tuna in vegetable oil.
It's like
the same.
It's like getting slimed in Double Dare.
It's fun.
The animals like it, actually.
Actually. But
the real
yeah,
legend
so...
of the hidden temple was the friends we made along the way. Anything else in the tank?
Right. So anyway, Doug says to Mr. Bone, hang it, like he sees Patty in the hallway, and he says, "Mr. Bone, give me a second. It's my last request." And he's just like, "What?
Oh, Mr. Bone, could you wait for 1 second? I just have to say goodbye to someone."
Goodbye?
What are you talking about? And he's just like, "All right, fine." He goes up to Patty, takes her hand, which is like rather forward for Doug. Like usually he just like flits around her, but he's just like, "Patty, I have something to tell you."
"I don't want you to worry about me, but it looks like I might be going up the river for a while."
"Doug, what are you talking about?"
And Patty goes, "Doug, what are you talking about? Doug, who cares?"
I feel like she says that
she's
to
like,
Doug
she doesn't
a
even
lot.
Say it like in because like this is happening in like a fantasy world of Doug where it's like playing like dramatic music, like somber music, and he's just like, "You know, I might," like in an old like classic
yeah, yeah.
movie kind of way. He's like, "You know, I might be going away for a," and she just like goes, "Doug, what are you talking about?" It's like totally out of the scene. And he's just like, "You know, I've done some things and it's a real cruel world out there." And just like totally blaming it on other people.
It sucks about my
world.
Victims, what they've done to me.
It's their fault, actually.
How dare they?
And then Mr. Bone's just like, "All right, fuck you. We're going to the principal's office." And they go in there.
Roger says, "I've been in there 1,000 times and they still haven't broken me."
Which is nice of him. Like, it's an actual moment of Roger being, like, supportive of Doug. Again, out of
yeah.
fucking nowhere. Like, Roger...
He's like, "Yeah, Doug."
For the first time, Roger's demonstrated, like, "Hell yeah, solidarity against the man."
Against
like,
Mr.
Yes,
Butt
I'm the,
Savage.
Yes, I'm the reason that that you have to go confront the Butt Savage in its lair. God, fuck that. But
Mr.
the... But, like, for it's a complete fucking reversal on earlier, because Roger should be super pumped about, hey, yeah, it looked like somebody else might be getting in trouble for the thing I did. But no, instead he's being super supportive of Doug, which is nice. And
Roger probably looked at the science center.
Yeah,
well, point. Roger was there. He knew it went on.
I mean, Roger also didn't know that it didn't get blown up because Patty explained it to him.
Oh, okay. That makes some. All right. I accept that.
So, okay. So let's just skip ahead to, like, Doug leaves the Mr. Butt Savage's lair and he says, hey. And everyone's like, oh my God, are you okay? And he goes, hey, I won second place at the science fair. All right. And he, like, has a little medal.
Ta-da! And,
okay. Ta-da! We did it!
And why did he win the second place at the science fair, dear viewer?
Because, okay, that was my question. Who do you think won first place? It's gotta be Chalky, right?
Maybe. Oh, no. Did you forget why he won?
Why?
Because the principal liked pork chop sexy grass skirt dance.
Oh, right.
That was the given reason for Doug getting second place.
It's good science.
We almost got through half an episode without getting weirdly sexual. And here at the end. Yeah, Doug, show me that dance.
All right, so I'm changing my vote to who won was definitely BB.
Yeah, same.
Because her dad paid the school and wanted to make it like an official thing. Like he wanted to like release a press release.
Yeah, it's gonna be in the paper.
Yeah, it's going to be science fair winner of My Factory Doesn't Make Pollution. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
God damn.
Yeah. So anyway, and by the way, he's like pumped about it. He's like, yeah, I won second place. But there were like four entries.
Yep. Doug, good job. You got to the guy who dressed up as the sun and the guy who just brought a bomb. High five, Doug.
Mr. Sun, thank you. But okay, so that's the end of it. What did he end it with? Was he just like writing in his journal?
Writing his journal about how, wow, I sure theoretically learned something from all this. And the only thing I noticed that he has a flag for the honkers in his room, which is going to be real ironic in about 2 years. Anyway, now Jack Bandit exists.
It's his first fictional character. It's Wanana.
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 One na na to all, gentle viewers.
Yeah, closing thoughts. We got any closing thoughts on this one?
One na na.
So,
Jack, Bandit.
Is arson good or bad? Who's to say? That's dumb.
We've real got some real morals in this one. I don't know. I think my closing thought is just the whole episode just. No one cares. Like, he's saying stuff to people, and no one, like, ever... No, regardless of whether it's real or not, like, regardless of whether it's a real concern, no one gives him, like, any, like, any sympathy or, like, anyone to talk to, right? They're just like, Doug, what are you talking about? Nothing you're saying matters. Shut up, stop talking to me. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit. His own father just like, yeah, okay, don't bug your sister. Anyway, moving on.
No more son.
The whole story falls apart if you have a character with an iota of curiosity about the world and how it works.
Or an iota of giving a shit about Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
All right, 54 more to go.
Nothing matters. Chaos reigns. Thank you for joining us, dear viewer. Until
Hail
next
Satan.
Time.
Goodbye.
Wah, nah, nah.
Goodbye.
Bye.